broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Pushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for March 19th. In the year of our Lord, 2021, this is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio. We use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, just so you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips today? We better learn to use it, I'll tell you that right now. We're also convinced that we must repent before Almighty God and become a moral people. And if we do, we're in good shape. But if we don't, oh boy, it's nothing but trouble straight ahead for us. The choice is clear. Where will we stand? Welcome to the broadcast that is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time for Friday. You got to dig it. I hope you spend all weekend promoting God, family, and country, protecting life, liberty, and property. By the way, Lowell Nelson's hour, last hour, was such a good hour that I want to continue with the same topics with Dr. Scott Bradley, who's on the line. His website, freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome to the broadcast, Doctor.
Well, as always, thank you very much. Again, we start the week with you, and we kind of end, well, the work week anyway. Certainly the weekend needs to figure in our life somehow, but Monday and Friday, so we're here to kind of, as bookends, I guess.
Dan, are you there?
I'm sorry. Sorry, Dr. Bradley. I pressed the wrong button. So I want to summarize what we had for the last hour with Lowell Nelson, because I think it's a topic that you'll want to rock and roll on. So let me just give you the summary of what we talked about. We talked about several different articles. We talked about the media finally starting to get it about COCO a little bit, not totally, but hey, the contrast between California and Florida, and media are starting to ask a few questions. That's a good thing. But what we really talked about was, you know what? We're in trouble, folks. The government's out of control, and you have a mistaken notion, ladies and gentlemen, if you believe there's an easy solution to gaining back freedom that is lost. I'm not saying it's not possible, but the real rulers and their pawns in government sadly have become at war with the people, and they will win the war unless we repent, dissent, and disobey. So there's the summary. And so people were, you know, kind of mentioning civil disobedience. And I kind of stopped and I said, you know what? I don't like the words civil disobedience. Let me tell you why I don't. And then the summary, and then we'll get to Dr. Bradley. He'll rock and roll on this topic here, I'm hoping. And I have no doubt he'll pull out Founding Fathers quotes and put it in appropriate perspective just for us, as the good doctors would well known to do. But so I'm saying I don't like the term civil disobedience. First of all, civil is a lie. What that means is government privilege. I have God-given, unalienable rights codified by the Declaration of Independence, okay? I have rights, and I delegate authority to government. So government derives its just powers from the consent of the governed. Okay, so when they talk about civil, what they're doing is they're granting me privileges, pretending they're rights. And they grant a lot of privileges that aren't rights at all. In fact, they're wrongs based on socialism and communism. Or oftentimes they take my right and turn it into a privilege as if they have authority or control or manipulative ability over that, quote, right. So they lie to you with this civil side of the discussion. There are no such thing as civil rights. There's only God-given rights, civil or privileges. But then this disobedience idea really irks me the most, because let me just tell you, if I'm standing with my God and I'm obedient to my God and I have these unalienable rights, and government carries out the delegated authority that I give it properly, then the government's obedient to me as I'm obedient to God. But if the government falls outside of that scope and takes power into itself, immorally, illegally, etc., and then they try to, you know, pervert my rights into privileges, and they try to change my God-given authority to a civil permission by government. And if they do these things, they're the ones that are disobedient, not me. And I reject it, and I will be disobedient, if you will, I guess, to their edicts. But I'm not the disobedient one. They are. So the civil disobedience idea, I understand the point, which means we need to resist. I understand the point, which means, you know, we're going to have to repent. We are going to have to dissent. We are going to have to disobey their unconstitutional, ungodly edicts. I get it, but I'm not the civil disobedient one. I'm the one exercising my authority under God with my God-given rights, and I'm delegating authority to government based on jurisdictional responsibilities laid out in the United States Constitution and my state constitutions. And if they obey that role, we have no issue, no conflict. But if they disobey, they're the ones that are engaging in civil disobedience. Doctor, let's start there, sir.
Well, there has been a complete flip of the correct and true principles of proper governance. And, you know, literally hundreds of statements and comments and examples come to mind as you're running through the litany. We could talk at length about a lot of angles, but let's start with just a concept. And again, we can go to those founding fathers' statements and how resistance to this usurpation is truly an expression of love to preserve the land that we've been given as a land of liberty. And it is not an act of rebellion. It is truly an expression of love if we push back when this usurpation occurs. But just a concept to maybe frame a little bit, and I don't know. We all need to understand that the offices and officers created under the United States Constitution are creatures of the contract. They were created by the contract and they're subject to it. The officers cannot constitutionally, arbitrarily, unilaterally redefine their powers. That includes all government and all powers, all departments, legislative, executive, judiciary. The states are the parties to the contract. The states are the makers of the contract. So when the creature of the contract, the national government, exceeds and usurps the power that's delegated to it within that contract, the United States Constitution, the parties to the contract, the states, must reengage and rein in the usurping creature of the contract, the national government. Okay, now where did the states get their quote-unquote power? This is a delegation of power also. So what we have happening is that from the foundational basis of everything governance, it comes from the people who obtained their God-given rights from God. And the purpose of government, as noted in the Declaration of Independence, is to secure God-given rights. So this rolling up, if you will, and that's maybe a bad and we could define that better, but just for, you know, the brief discussion we have, rolling up of delegated authority from the people, well, from God to the people, to the states, to the national government, or the general government, we find that these creatures of the contract are simply bound by their job description. And I oftentimes use, when I'm talking to groups of people, let's say you hire a housekeeper, and that housekeeper is there to, you know, cook meals and clean the house and do the laundry, et cetera, et cetera. If she makes a pass at the head of the household, first thing they do is they fire the housekeeper because she has exceeded her delegated authority. As long as she was doing her job, she was right there doing what was needful. Or let's take another example, a gardener that's hired by the good household. And when they're off on vacation someplace, somebody drives by, sees the gardener, the beautiful grass and the flowers and the bushes. The guy says, man, that's a lovely home. I wonder if I could look in. The guy says, sure, I've got a key. If I can get a drink of water, let's go and look at it. The guy says, man, I'd like to buy that house. And the gardener sells the house. When the good householder comes back from vacation, finds another usurper sitting in office, does a little investigation, fires the groundskeeper, and then begins the process of taking the household back. So in those two little simple examples, we see what has happened in America. We hired people to do a certain job, housekeeping, laundry, cooking, whatever. gardening, mowing the lawn, whatever. And what they have done, in essence, is they've said, oh, as a housekeeper, I have access to the keys. I can wander the house and the premises unopposed. I have a right to be here. But what they have done is they have overstepped their limits and bounds of their job description. That job description is found for the legislature in Article 1 of the Constitution, President Article 2, and so on. Those job descriptions have been violated. Now, if you've got somebody that you hired to work on your assembly line, or you worked as a janitor, or there's somebody that's a, I know somebody very well that had a corporate attorney that worked for them, and they used their power position to do a hostile takeover. That is what is happening in America today. The creatures of the contract, those that were brought in, hired to do a certain job, have violated that contract. Now those that were the parties to the contract that agreed to it, it's time for those parties to step in and say, no longer will we allow these people to hold office. Now, again, in these simplified little statements, I think we need to understand that the violators of the contract are both at the general government level, and they're at the state government level, and they're also in our municipal governments. We have violations at every level. I guess it sounds like we've got to take a quick break. Time flies when you're having
Roger
time.
That. Hang on, Dr. Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com is website. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and we'll end up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at mormon.org.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So the point I'm making, ladies and gentlemen, is a very clear one. Sam Educates is my headline. Civil disobedience is a great misnomer. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God, says Benjamin Franklin. And that's kind of the point. You know what? If I'm going to be obedient to somebody, it's going to be God, not government. I'll tell you that right now, but I'm not disobedient. That suggests government has the authority. I say government doesn't have the authority, Doctor.
Let's go back and consider what Thomas Jefferson said, again, of the many hundreds of concepts that come to my mind instantly. And there's no time to give justice to any of them, but here's a few little, well, a couple little statements, and then we need to understand approaches to this thing. And it's not throwing Molotov cocktails in the streets. But here's what Jefferson said, that the several states composing the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to the general government, but that by a compact, under the style and title of a Constitution for the United States and of amendments thereto, they constituted a general government for special purposes, delegated to that government certain definite powers, reserving each state to itself the residuary mass of right to their own self-government, and that whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, its acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. The government created by this compact was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, since that would have made its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its powers, but that, as all other cases of compact, among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself, as well as of infractions of the mode and measure of redress. Okay, so what he's saying here is that basically we wrote a contract, we created a specific general government. They used the term general government, not national government and not federal government, for a very good purpose, and we could talk about that at length if you wished, and in Federalist Papers and everything. But the point of the matter is, we have created a government. That government has been delegated certain powers, and none else. And that government can only operate within those powers, and none else. And those that foolishly, and I think purposely, have sought to destroy this understanding of a living constitution, they call it, where they can redefine powers and redefine words, it's written in plain English, people. Those plain English words have meanings. Those meanings may be known, and they can only mean what they meant in 1787 when they were written, and they are limited. Well, I mean, we could talk about the 45th Federalist Paper, for example. The powers of the national government, general government, federal government, whatever people are willing to call it, are few and defined. Few and defined. And again, I don't want to give anybody at the state or local government a pass on these things. Everybody is bound by the concept found in the Declaration of Independence that the purpose of government is to secure God-given rights. That is the purpose of government. And whenever they go beyond those bounds, it's time to be corrected. We need to fire the housekeeper, the gardener, the corporate attorney, whatever you want to call the person that's been put in a position where they have been granted a certain limited scope and they've overstepped it. It's time to fire them. It truly is. And I think there's a general house cleaning that's necessary. But before that happens, we the people have got to get our understanding clear. And I do believe, as we go back to this so often on the program, we need to go back to the origin and basis of our full understanding of the creation of what this nation is, and it started on a spiritual basis, and its foundation is found in the scriptures.
Dr. Bradley, what do you think about my point about, hey, you know what, civil disobedience is a great misnomer. Okay, it isn't true. There's no such thing as civil rights. There's God-given rights and civil privileges, but civil rights are a misnomer, okay? And it's not very civil if you exercise whatever rights the government doesn't want you to have. They get violent in a hurry. And so I say rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Look, we've got choices to make in America, folks. Doctor?
You know, you're absolutely correct. And sadly, for a long time now, general government has been focused on limiting our God-given rights to as narrowly a focused a scope as possible. And we've talked before on your program about an event that happened back in September of 2016, just before the election, that, a couple months before the election, there was the U.S. Civil Rights Commission that gathered, and they put together an egregious document, in my opinion, 296 pages. And without going through all 296 pages to point out every egregious fault within that, in general, we might just say their intent, their purpose, their theme, if you will, was that they need to define God-given rights as narrowly as possible so that those God-given rights do not impinge upon these new, quote-unquote, civil rights that you're talking about that are falsely being created by government action. These Johnny-come-latelys, if you will, to our lexicon in America, where they redefine your God-given right to make choices of association and belief and everything else in the public marketplace as well as in your churches. Now, by the way, just let me parenthetically or take a side trip here for a second. I believe institutions, religious institutions, err greatly. They are on a bad path that ultimately and finally will lead to those religious institutions losing their institutional rites of worship, their formulaic worship, if you will, when they have squandered the individual rights. Now, here's where I'm going with this. There are many religious institutions that I think want a place at the table, if you will, with big government, where they're saying, oh, we'll help you get what you want as long as we can continue to practice our formulaic worship in our churches, our synagogues, our chapels, or temples and cathedrals, whatever. We will help you get what you want if you will help us. Oh, no, not help us. Just allow us to retain what we have. And so in that formulaic worship that they have, there will be a time probably where, yeah, you can continue to meet. You can continue to read your scriptures across your pulpits and podiums and all those kinds of things. You may continue to practice your ordinances and so on and so forth. But the real fundamental thing that's happening is as they turn their back on the individuals that are out there, their congregants, if you will, as they turn their back on them and say, well, they've got to fend for themselves. We are watching. We the leaders, have an institutional responsibility to protect that organization we represent or lead or whatever. But the foundation of that is what individuals can do. Now, there's bills before the United States right this very moment, the United States Congress and Senate, wherein that exact thing is happening. They're redefining. It will happen soon. They will redefine the First Amendment, for example, and they will make certain that religious belief cannot impinge upon some other created right. I'll give you an example. If you are a good Christian fellow and you own a business and you want to give your employees a health care plan, and so you're offering that health care plan in the marketplace, and you're offering it to them, well, don't get too fancy there, fellas. This health care plan, because these people have a right to abortion, or these people have a right to gender surgery, or these people have a right, you can run with this all you want. These people have a right to be able to share bathrooms with any girl that comes into your place of business. These guys can go in there too because they identify as being girls or whatever. You can take this any way you want, where those businesses will be compelled by government force. I mean, you remember, government is not eloquence, it's not reason, it is force. And like fire, it's a dangerous servant and fearful master. You will be compelled by government force to, in the public sector, in the marketplace, it doesn't matter what your religious belief is, how firmly you are holding these things, you'll be stuck. Because they're going to say, oh, the religious institutions can do it. No, oh, yeah, we'll leave them alone. But you? No. No, not in your business. Forget it. Man, we got to take another break. Holy cow.
Time flies when you're on the radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. I'm Sam Bushman. Dr. Scott Bradley's with me to preserve the nation. His goal, freedomsrisingsun.com, his website, and we got a whole lot more. Hard-hitting talk on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As investigators piece together the movements and motive for the suspect in this week's deadly shootings at three Atlanta, Georgia massage parlors, there's debate underway whether he should face hate crimes for the attacks that left eight people dead, including six Asian women. Reports indicate the suspect, Robert Aaron Long, told investigators it was gender motivation, as he is a self-admitted sex addict. The World Health Organization has authorized China to effectively bar American scientists from the probe into the origins of COVID-19. According to the Wall Street Journal on Thursday, the WHO has allowed Chinese officials final say to which American scientists can join the international probe. The House continued partisan politics Thursday, voting to open citizenship for Dreamers. The 228-197 vote was down party lines. Grandstanding, that's the best way to describe U.S.-China summit talks in Anchorage, Alaska Thursday, with each side taking jabs at each other. The summit does continue Friday. USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Hey there, friends. It's John and Chelsea Jubilee.
And today we have a message for you women out there. Are you premenopausal, postmenopausal, or maybe you're in the middle of menopause right now?
Ouch.
Listen, we have thousands of clients that have reported reversing all of their symptoms of menopause. Or maybe you have thyroid imbalances. Same thing for those women. Listen, this is your time.
Absolutely. You can reverse all of those symptoms and you can be your real joyful, exuberant, and lean self again. Ladies, I don't care if six doctors told you you can't lose that fat after menopause or in menopause. You can. We have done it hundreds and hundreds of times, even in a medical setting documented. So make your action call today. Log on to EnergizeHealth.com, EnergizeHealth.com,
or call 888-444-8895. That's 888-444-8895.
Some U.S. lawmakers are fed up with Dr. Fauci's wishy-washy leadership during the COVID-19 pandemic, and they let him have it on Thursday. Wendy King from the Pacific Northwest USA Radio News Bureau reports.
During a Senate hearing, Senator Rand Paul asked Dr. Anthony Fauci, why are we still wearing masks?
You're defying everything we know about immunity by telling people to wear masks who've been vaccinated.
Well, let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Masks are protective. And we
have immunity there, theater. If you already have immunity, you're wearing a mask to give comfort to others. You're not wearing a mask because of any science.
I totally disagree with you.
Dr. Fauci told the panel there isn't enough data on the vaccine's response to the variants of the virus.
Dr. Fauci started off the pandemic telling Americans not to wear masks and later admitted he fibbed to save American stockpiles of masks for frontline workers. At the beginning of March 2021, approximately 10% of the adult population in the United States has received both coronavirus vaccine doses. USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Dr. Scott Bradley on your radio. So there's a couple of things I want to highlight, Doctor, a couple of news points I want to get in here. Despite having face mask requirements and socially distanced tables, inside the outdoor tent where the Grammys were being held on the Sabbath, sad to say, celebrities still found a way to show their hypocrisy. Los Angeles, by the way, is currently under a mask mandate, which I submit is unconstitutional as all get out. But nevertheless, but that didn't stop celebrities from removing their masks to take red carpet pictures with one another. The celebrities also took off their masks once they made it on stage to accept their awards, sometimes even hugging and kissing the presenters. Now, John Kerry got busted on a plane not wearing a mask. We see them at restaurants all the time. Their hypocrisy highlights the they know that wearing masks is not the answer, and they still mandate it for you and I, but it's for he, meaning me and you. It's for me, not for thee, kind of thing. And their hypocrisy has got to stop. This highlights the point we're getting at. We have got to say we need to be obedient to God and reject these mandates. They don't have any authority, Doctor.
Again, there's hundreds of different strings we could pull on with that, but this Fauci facade, which truly it is a Fauci facade, I think someday, somehow, we'll probably have a full psychoanalysis of Dr. Fauci and find that that his the demons that pursue him and drive his behavior and his belief system have truly driven this nation into the ground. But the fact of the matter is, the whole entire episode has been a facade. During my lifetime, we have had four at least pandemics, and I remember in retrospect when they were, but I don't remember anything that happened because of them. We went on with our lives. We pursued everything that we were pursuing. We had lives, in fact. The economy continued to boom. There were no impediments put in anybody's way by the false facade of government mandate. Again, mandates are not law. Mandates are simply a monarchical declaration. They're pretended law, to use the term in the Declaration of Independence. And everything that's happening right now, it's empty. You heard at the news break the exchange between Dr. Rand Paul, senator, and the Fauci facade that's there. I don't know if you've seen the interview between the Mexican entertainer, comedian, interviewer, and Fauci. He is one of the most incisive interviewers I have ever seen. And it's kind of like, holy cow, what happened to the big talking heads of the news media people that interview this buffoon, this comical buffoon that has basically...
Yeah, it's comical, except for the guy has so much authority granted to him by Trump and now Biden that it's out of control.
It is.
Now, Rand Paul did a great job to Dr. Fauci in the Senate hearing.
This Mexican interviewer,
hey,
you've got to see
spreading
it.
This. Isn't it just theater? Floor. You've got two masks on here. You've already been vaccinated. It's theater. And all Fauci could say back is, I don't agree with you. But what about the science on this thing? What about the... And they don't have science on their side, doctor. They don't.
No, there is no science to this at all. I mean, if you take every single element of what has happened, you can compare and contrast all across the world the actual real-life experiences, and it's not a narrative. It's a script. And in this nation, we have embraced the script wholeheartedly and completely. And there are so many other things going on that you're being denied the opportunity, reasoned, intelligent, highly trained, board certified, subject matter experts are basically put to ground, using the electronic term, where they're completely, not just ignored, they're censored, they're set aside, and in fact, they're threatened. And the other side of this script has not been allowed to be aired. And across America, we are paying the price, and I fear that we're just beginning on this. I think that some of the side effects of the vaccine, in fact, I just got this morning something that we need to give some consideration to, but basically it came from the Utah Department of Health, and their position that they will not at any time, basically share anything that has to do with, let me see if I can find it here real quickly, it has anything to do with calling to question the vaccines. They're absolutely entrenched in their position that these vaccines are safe and effective. They're neither. You can say all you want, but they're unproven. They're these are a new technology. The most they were tested on was 40 days. Nobody has any idea.
And we know that they're not safe or effective because they clearly say this is new technology, and they don't even know. They admit that on one side of their mouth. On the other side, they say they're safe and effective, and how dare you challenge them. But they also say they're vaccines. They're not even really a vaccine.
That's true. They're a medical procedure, and they're supposed to be somehow mitigating this thing. But this statement that came out that says public confidence in the COVID-19 vaccine is critical. Okay, so they are going to give cover to this thing, and they are basically facilitators and complicit in this facade. Again, This is done under an emergency use declaration. This is not being done on any kind of approval process. And for them to say they're safe and effective, and now I've been watching, they're having volunteers put their six-month-old babies forward as guinea pigs on this six-month, six-year, 12-year. It doesn't matter. We're taking this to children, to pregnant women, in spite of the fact we have reports of young women that are pregnant and get vaccinated and boom, gone. Baby's done. We have a spontaneous abortion. I mean, maybe there'll become a new abortion process for the morning after or some silly thing or for 6 months into it. I don't know. But the fact of the matter is this is an emergency use authorization. This is an experiment. This is not an approved product. It has been brought forth with a warp speed. That's, they used the term even. And they've brought it to market. This is the biggest. Let's put it this way. I don't think I can, there has never been a bigger marketing program on any subject ever at any time in the history of the world where they are making these public service announcements, and they have folksy people say, yeah, folks, we're so lucky to have this brand new vaccine out and you need to get that. I mean, they use every single facade of approach to kind of play to our comfort zones and everything else like that. But the reality of it is, it is not an approved vaccine. It's being issued and offered under an emergency use authorization that is simply being brought to the market because it's the Wizard of Oz, people. It's something that you just cannot bring science to this. You can't say, is this going to cause spontaneous abortion? Is this going to cause a heart attack? Is this going to cause anaphylactic shock? Is this going to cause some kind of paralysis or neurological problem? Is this going to cause some kind of deficiency in children's minds? Are you going to be sterile? Are you going to? I mean, you could make a list 1,000 miles long because they don't know, and it's being promoted and marketed to the nth degree. And when that Mexican comedian interviewer guy, you've got to look that up. Find that interview. It was like you're laughing all the way through at this comical. And the comedian's not the comical.
It's comical,
guy.
But it's poignant and direct as all get out, and it highlights the reality that we face.
It does. And Fauci is the comical guy in it. He is turned every which way, inside and out. He cannot give a straight answer that really makes any common sense. You can't say, oh, this logic is impeccable. No, there is no logic. And he has become the spokesman and the face of all of this thing. And again, as you point out, that there's been delegated unrighteously and usurped and everything, delegated by people that didn't have the authority to him to be the chief cook and bottle washer on this whole thing. And we have destroyed lives. People have committed suicide.
And businesses, and the list goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, I want to highlight everybody celebrating Disney in California's opening in April. Ain't that great? Well, let me tell you the guidelines. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable Live.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah, live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Man, time's just flying faster than I wanted to. Dr. Scott Bradley with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this situation here. So the California Attractions and Parks Association announced that it wants to limit shouting in order to prevent the spread of the COVID-19, don't you know? In explaining why it was now safe for California to reopen its theme parks, the California Attractions and Parks Association revealed that it had the ability to limit activities that are known to cause increased spread, which includes singing, shouting, and heavy breathing. So there you have it. Don't worry. They want you to go on a roller coaster and not scream. A doctor, what they want you to do is scream in your heart, okay?
We have become complete idiots in this country. I think that literally the insanity has become universal. I don't know how to prove this. It's just a theory, I guess, that when you become oxygen deprived, you become depraved. And that's kind of where we are in America today with the reduced brain oxygenation. We have stopped thinking. And by the way, they talk about, oh, the vaccine is going to let us open up. No, it won't. You still got to social distance. You still got to wear a mask. You still got to do all of the hand sanitizing nonsense and everything that destroys your natural immune system. By the way, I know you've seen this, Sam. Our good friend Chuck Baldwin put out a thing yesterday with an Israeli rabbi named Weissman that had 31 reasons why he won't take the vaccine. It's worth reviewing, people. It really is. Go to Chuck Baldwin's site. I can't give you the, maybe it's a Chuck Baldwin syndicate or something like that. It's a syndicated column. Anyway, he put out a newsletter yesterday.
I want you to highlight this because I really want people to read this. But what I want to do, hopefully on Monday, I want, and I've been waiting for this to get posted to libertyroundtable.com, before we do this, but I want to go through these 31 reasons and talk about them. It's worth a whole hour on that alone, isn't it?
Oh, I agree. I mean, if you took 2 minutes on each one of these 31 points, you wouldn't have time because you got to take breaks. You have to do these news things and you do the commercial breaks and all that kind of stuff. It is absolutely, this man is brilliant and he's collated together 31 points. And the last one is kind of a, you know, almost tongue in cheek, but it's probably the truest thing of them all. It's the whole thing stinks. That's his 31st point. I mean, there is not anything about this that has a shred of any justification for what we have done. And like I say, in the previous pandemics that I've been through in my lifetime, they were completely, a whole different approach was taken that had zero outcome. And by the way, the death rates on this, the national death rates in no country has exceeded the previous year's death rates in any way, for all causes. If you take all causes and lump them together, And it's so amazing. I tell people the COVID is a killer. It absolutely is. It's killed the seasonal flu. It's killed pneumonia. It's killed heart attacks. It's killed cancer. It's killed automobile deaths. I mean, it has been the center of focus. What really, really concerns me is that this has been embraced by all walks of people. I mean, people that claim to worship Christ and to serve him and want to take upon them his name, it seems to me in many instances he is no longer the center of the church services. The COVID is. And it's become the church of COVID. I mean, we have become a bunch of sheep that are being led by, like I say, if Fauci's the leader. You know, we read in the scriptures about how people will look narrowly upon Lucifer, the Satan that has caused all the difficulties in the world. I think people are going to look at him and say, really? Really? We allowed you to do this to our lives, our families, our country? Really? Are you kidding me? I really do believe that him and the gates of hell, Bill Gates, will be the kinds of people we'll look at and say, are you kidding me? We put our trust in these individuals. And again, where does our trust run? Our trust runs to God and Christ. We have got to become a people that's centered again upon those things. Where has our faith gone? We are putting our faith in physicians and scientists and politicians and researchers and pharma companies, and we've turned our back on faith. This whole thing.
Amen to that. Dr. Bradley, so here's what Chuck Baldwin says, and I want to break this column down. I really want to spend a whole lot more time on it than we've got today. So count on Monday, seeing if we can't really just focus on this one. But the headline of Chuck Baldwin's article says, Why I Will Not Take the COVID Vaccine, written by Chuck Baldwin. And here's what he says. I continue to maintain that the COVID narrative is the biggest hoax in world history. I continue to maintain that the COVID scam is the biggest hoax in world history, he says. He says, I'll say it straight out. Bill Gates, Anthony, Heil Hitler, Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, the major medical industry, the major pharmaceutical companies, the major media, and the fear-mongering politicians in both major parties, as well as the cowardly statists, pastors, and churches who are embracing this phony narrative are lying to us about COVID-19. Okay, this is a pretty bold statement, but you know what? I'm convinced that Chuck Baldwin is spot on, Dr. Bradley.
You know, I consider Chuck to be a good friend. He's, you know, been in our home, you know, he's spent time with us in our family and stuff. We've been to his church up in Montana. And you know, it's interesting, he's a Baptist pastor that has really passionately held feelings towards the inextricability of liberty and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you do get an earful of passionate fervor about liberty when you go to his church. He's got some real insights on some of this stuff. He's well read. He has a lot of contacts, and he brings out in this particular newsletter that he's got this statement by this rabbi out of Israel about these 31 reasons. And again, anybody that sits down and logically approaches this thing and tosses overboard the hyperventilating narrative, the hyperbole that we get from, and we've got it right from the very beginning. I did a long interview back in March a year ago with the major news source, if you will, in our state. And their hyperventilating over this has been from day one. I do not believe they were given a general guideline. They were given a script. And these people have been playing this script. Our local community, probably most listened to radio station, has a daily moment of fear. They don't call it that, but but it's out of, right out of 1984, Orwell's book, 1984, where we must fear, oh my goodness, they go through all the latest statistics, and oh, by the time it's over, I'm sobbing. I mean, you know, come on. I'm, hopefully people can understand the ludicrous nature of this thing, where they run these numbers and they make it sound like we're all gonna die and everybody's stacked in the neighborhoods and the street corners and they're coming through with front end loaders and picking up the bodies and, oh my goodness. But that's the way it's hyped constantly. And when you look at it, the statistics show that our mortality rates, if you will, across the world have not changed year to year to year to year, going back several years. And this thing that is being fear-mongering, we've probably had almost exactly the same number of people die in our nation this year as last year. And they're all being put under as COVID deaths. I mean, if you had a COVID positive test, which this PCR test thing is.
Even if more people are dying, that doesn't grant them any authority to lock us down. It doesn't grant them any authority for the executive branches to obliterate legislative bodies and to take power into themselves, even if more people are dying. Now, I agree with you that more people are not dying, but even if they were, they don't have the authority to violate liberty like that. And that's why I say we've got to stand our ground, folks.
We can no longer put up with this as a people. It's time. There needs to be an awakening. I fear, though, that the church leaders are very often the principal primary problem with this, because they believe in this Romans 13 thing that you got to bow your knee and scrape and perform the labors the government gives you without question. They have become complicit in the entire thing. In fact, I believe some of them probably were sitting at the tables when this was planned. They have been so heavily involved and engaged in it. It is a tragic travesty. You know, you think about, remember when, maybe you don't remember, but you've read about it, in, I think it's the fifth chapter of Acts, when Peter and John charged, hey, you can't even talk about this fellow Jesus Christ anymore. And they said, wait, is it better for us to obey God or you? We've got to get a little backbone again, folks, and I wish to heaven that either the religious leaders would be replaced by God, or the religious leaders would retain a little bit of that backbone. You remember the Black Regiment back in the Revolutionary War when the pastors and the preachers, you know, they took off their frocks and they went to battle with the Revolutionary soldiers. They preached liberty from the pulpit. And now we've become certainly guys like Chuck Baldwin have not become complicit in this whole thing, but there are far too many religious leaders that are going to be abundantly cautious, good global citizens. And this thing that happens, that we're destroying the very foundation upon which we can even worship God, where we can take upon us the name of Christ, where we can serve him, where we can perform his labors, because the people that are in charge are determined that God shall not be at the center of our lives. And again,
ladies and gentlemen, even if you believe in the coronavirus and the vaccines, different from what we believe in, you got to understand this is a landmark test for the globalists. They are going to see, will you lock down? And if they find out, just like the people, when they find out they can vote largesse from the treasury, we're in trouble financially and you know, from a socialism point of view. Once these people realize that they can shut us down and we won't really do anything about it, they'll find other reasons to shut us down, less and less justifiable, even if you believe in this one. You got 20 seconds. Final word's yours, Doctor.
Well, again, we've got to go back to the foundation. We cannot take these tangential paths that will take us away from what made this the greatest, freest, strongest, most happy, most prosperous, and most respected nation on earth. We need to go back to the foundation, and that's what we preach in this. And the original foundation is God. And from there, we've
God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it is. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Donate liberally. For Sam and Dr. Scott Bradley, God save the Republic of the United States of America. But let's do our part and trust in God for the rest. Shall we?